It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out why a frac sand mining operation in Trempealeau County was shut down this week.
First, 4 weeks from today will be November 5th. Midterm elections will be officially over, and we'll be talking about the results from elections the night before. Or will we?
A new report out from USA Today says that thanks to a confluence of unusual issues at play in this fall's elections, control of the Senate may not be resolved until weeks after the election.
Also, as Election Day approaches, outside money is flooding states with some of the most contentious races. And will the Supreme Court's action on Monday, making same-sex marriage legal in a handful of new states, affect the elections?
It's time for a weekly look at Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. Paul, welcome back.
How you doing, Rob? I thought I was calling it on the pledge line. I wanted to donate, you know?
Well, you still can after we're done with you, pal.
Excellent.
Well, it's clock's ticking just 4 weeks away. What Senate races are shaping up to be the tightest?
Well, we have a new poll out today that we did in North Carolina showing that that race is basically neck and neck. There was a thought amongst Democrats that Senator Kay Hagan was beginning to pull away from her challenger, Republican Tom Tillis. Our numbers suggest that she is not pulling away, and in fact, it is really just a couple of points difference. That one's going to be super close. We think also Iowa is too close to call between Joni Ernst and Bruce Braley, the Democrat. Interestingly enough, we also had a poll out of our Kentucky affiliates. You know, we're part of the Gannett network, and our Kentucky affiliates published their Bluegrass poll that shockingly showed that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was trailing his Democratic challenger, Allison Lundgren Grimes. Now, that is a bit of an outlier. The assumption had been that she was 4 or 5 points behind. Our poll showed her 2 points up. If that is true, and it is true movement in Grimes' favor and Mitch McConnell's in trouble, that could be a crazy news story on the 4th or 5th of November. We shall see.
Now, in tight races like this, there's some sort of like a black hole that starts sucking money in from all over the country. What are we seeing on the fundraising front?
Yeah, you know, what you see is, and the part that people know a lot about is, you know, the millions and millions of dollars worth of advertising, the television ads on both sides, tens of millions of dollars being spent by third parties as well as both campaigns and both parties. There's all these outside groups that, you know, call Senator Schmo and tell him that you disagree with his position on issue 1, 2, 3. So we're seeing hundreds of millions of dollars of that being spent around the country. The thing that was most interesting to me is one of my colleagues was in North Carolina, again on this Hagan-Tillis race, and found that several outside groups were spending millions of dollars in ground game. They were spending money to invest in phone banks and door-knocking operations, because for a lot of these campaigns, what's going to matter more than anything else is how much turnout you get in a midterm election with an unpopular president for the Democrats. They need to get all of their Democratic base out to the polls. And so people are spending a lot of money in trying to motivate particularly Democratic voters to get to the polls and vote.
Now, I've seen complaints from kind of veteran political strategists, and I'm talking over the last 5 or 10 years here, that the parties have forgotten that kind of old-fashioned ground game politics. They put all their money into TV ads and high-tech stuff. Is that changing? Are we seeing a return to the past here?
You know, I think it's a bit of both, really. I mean, the high-tech stuff helps you target your advertising, but it also helps you target your door knocking. It also helps you target yard signs. You know, I mean, it's a bit of and or. I mean, you don't see the money being spent in yard signs and direct mail because it's a relatively small portion of the money compared to what you spend on TV, because TV is just more expensive and covers more people. You get to more people that way. But for the real targeting, you spend a lot of money on a really good mailing list and some really smart digital people, and you can start targeting pop-up ads to the individual viewer on their computer. You can target individual ads to the TV viewer who's using their cable box. So you you are still doing some of the traditional door knocking and get out the vote stuff. It's just you've got a lot more high-tech tools to help you do it.
Now, come election night, we were talking about this just a bit earlier in the setup. I'm kind of impatient when I go to bed on Tuesday night. I want to know who won. That may not happen when it comes to the U.S. Senate this year, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm going to kill myself. Yeah, I mean, it's this year has, we talk about this a lot in previous years, that you know some of these races might come in late. The problem is we believe Republicans are going to pick up at least 3 seats in the Senate. If they pick up a net of 6, they will control the Senate in 2015. The problem is some of those races, Alaska is going to be a very close race. Senator Mark Begich is facing a significant challenge from a guy named Dan Sullivan. It's going to be a very close race. The polls don't close until like 1 o'clock Eastern time, in the morning, that is. It takes a long time for all those ballots to come to Juneau to be counted. It may be weeks before we know the outcome in Alaska. In Louisiana, there's likely to be a runoff because we don't think that either Mary Landrieu, the Democratic incumbent, or Bill Cassidy, her Republican challenger, her primary Republican challenger, there's another one too, we don't think either one of them is going to get 50%. If they don't get 50%, they go to a runoff. That doesn't happen until December 6th. We may not know who is the senator. We may not know whether that senator tips the balance. There's even a third one in Georgia. There's a possibility that they have a runoff as well. That runoff isn't until January. So it could go until next year before we know who is in charge of the Senate.
And even then, there's talk of something happening like the late Senator Jeffords, who famously switched parties during the George W. Bush administration, I believe it was.
Yep.
Is there talk about, hey, if Republicans are a seat or two away or vice versa, that there are targets that they would try to get to switch?
Yeah, that's the Hail Mary. I wouldn't put that on the front burner of things I expect to worry about in the weeks after the election. But it's really an interesting thought that if we are at 50-50 or somewhere near 50-50, there are a couple of senators out there who seem like they might be targets for a possible to caucus with Republicans. For instance, there's an independent running for Senate in Kansas who is in position at this point to beat the sitting Republican senator, Pat Roberts. His name is Orman. If Orman wins, might he caucus with Republicans? Possibly. Is it possible that Angus King from Maine, the independent, who is already in the Senate, might choose to caucus with Republicans if it looks like that puts him in a majority and he gets something for it? Possibly. Again, I'm not banking on those, but it's not outside the realm of possibility.
We're speaking with Paul Singer. He's politics editor at USA Today. He joins us every week at this time to give us the lowdown on what's happening in Congress. We'll continue the conversation and maybe look at possible lawsuits in those close Senate races coming up in just a bit.
But first, Veronica Rickard here with Gene Purcell, and this is the Fall Membership Drive. Listeners provide the single largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs that you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 38 listeners, including 36 brand new members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you for all of those pledges. But we've got a brand new hour and a brand new goal. Our goal this hour is to get 23 pledges.
And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal and get entered in that drawing by making a contribution now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And where does the money go? Well, it goes to support programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio, programs like Central Time. You know, in the greater scheme of shows in WPR, we've got a long history here. Central Time is brand new. We just started last summer, and we're excited to be part of the spirit of innovation here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Members play a big role in WPR's ability to move with the times and stay relevant. Thanks to your support, new shows like Central Time have the chance to see the light of day. Your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is a vote for Central Time and a vote for innovation on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And don't forget, everybody who pledges during this drive is going to be entered into a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip, and you get to choose. You could go to the Rhine River, go to Alaska, or, if you'd like, go to France. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount. at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send your name and address, email, and phone number on a postcard to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How'd you like to cruise up the Rhine River, visiting beautiful towns in Germany and France? That could be you this December, enjoying Christmas markets, tasting fine cheeses, walking through picturesque towns. You'll even visit Beethoven's home and enjoy classical music throughout the trip. This tour is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn all the details at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
And that's right. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Gene Purcell, and we're asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 a month, maybe $20 a month. Whatever amount you decide on, whatever fits your budget, that's the right amount.
And when you make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, continue our monthly giving program. It's becoming more and more popular, and in fact, we've got more than 14,000 sustaining members right now, and that pool is growing every day.
Give it a try. We think you'll like it. Most sustainers do, and they continue to give in that fashion. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and then sit back and relax. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is all important because a large slice of WPR's budget pie the biggest slice of our budget pie is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal government and business, are important, your contribution is the one that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is because of listeners just like you, because of listener support. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And here's another bonus. Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time, a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
And we promise that that donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programming. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
Another thing you can check out is find out if your employer will match your donation. Pledge now and then ask your human resources department the next time you get a chance.
And even retired employees can sometimes qualify for employer matches, so it's worth checking that out. And pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and then find out if you can get your pledge doubled.
Little update on our goal here. We are still looking for 16 more pledges in about the next 40 minutes.
You
can help us get there. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really helps, and it enters you in a drawing for two tickets to go on a WPR trip. And sustainers, don't worry, you're automatically covered.
And that's good news for me because I'm a sustaining member. And don't forget, you can pledge now and ask for the WPR logo secure ID tag with your gift of $5 a month. That's $60 or more. These tags are very similar to a luggage tag, but they're better because, first of all, they're smaller, but secondly, they don't show your actual contact information.
You just put one on your key ring, stick the other to your phone, and if you lose one of those items, you're going to have a way back to you. You can ask for the tags when you pledge $5 a month, $60 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you are a sustaining member already to Wisconsin Public Radio, thank you so much for taking that step. And make today the day that you increase your sustaining support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We're back now with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us every week with the scoop on Congress. We're still talking about the Senate elections, Paul. There's some speculation here in Wisconsin, no Senate election, but the race might be so close. There have been ballot questions, voter ID laws being put in place, questions that this election could end in the courts. There was the Franken-Coleman race in Minnesota a few years back, so close it ended up in the courts. Right. Are you expecting to see some key Senate races, maybe the fate of the whole U.S. Senate, going into the courts?
Expecting would not be my word for it,
fearing?
But it is certainly not outside the realm of possibility. One of the things that I would suspect before we get to the courts, start with the possibility of a recount, right? Where if any of these races is within, you know, a few thousand votes, depending on what state you're in, there could be automatic recounts. There can be challenges brought, which could, again, drag this whole process out for weeks or months. Officially, there's still a legal challenge, I believe, kicking around in Mississippi, where Chris McDaniel has never fully conceded the race to Thad Cochran for that Senate seat, and that was the Republican primary. So some of this stuff, if it gets into the courts, can take a really long time. My recollection is the Franken race, and forgive me for being weak on my details here, but the Franken race, I think, went on for more than a month after the election.
At least, I think, yeah.
And, you know, so in worst-case scenarios, some of this stuff drags out a while. Now, I will say that for the most part, courts tend to be pretty aggressive about resolving even legal challenges in election cases as quickly as possible because they understand the pressing need for fast action. I mean, you will remember, no doubt, the 2000 presidential election went all the way to the Supreme Court and still was resolved by December 12th of that year. Now, not knowing who the winner of the presidential election between November 4th and or whatever the date was that year, first week of November and the second week of December, was pretty dramatic and exciting. But even so, that shows you the courts are very serious about moving as quickly as possible.
Well, speaking of the U.S. Supreme Court, they issued a non-decision at the beginning of this week on same-sex marriage, said we're not taking this up, made it same-sex marriage effectively legal in Wisconsin and other states as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does it do to that, if anything, as an issue in congressional elections this year?
We had the same question, and we sent one of our reporters out to go look into that. You know, is this going to be a major issue driving people to the polls? And surprisingly, the answer was no. We think where this becomes a bigger issue is in 2016 in the presidential elections, because the presidential candidates are going to have to say something about what they expect to do on gay marriage, what they, it'll matter in who they're appointing, who they plan to appoint to Supreme Court openings that may come available. But at the moment, there are not a lot of ballot initiatives on gay marriage that are going to drive people to the polls in key races. And at this point, you have gay marriage now being legal in, I think it's 30 states. So there's not a lot of argument over the issue in these places, or not a lot of argument that the Senate candidates that we really care about have to make a case. So it has not become the kind of driving issue. And in fact, interestingly, both the Democrats and the Republicans we talked to said, meh, we don't think that's an issue at the ballot box this year.
Now, the Human Rights Campaign and Advocacy Group made this comparison. They say, hey, now over half of Americans, 52%, live in states where same-sex marriage is legal. But they criticize Republicans, saying only 8 Republicans in Congress support the right to same-sex marriage. So is that a potential problem for the Republican Party? And are we at a point where it isn't, should I oppose same-sex marriage or be quiet, but is there an option for Republicans to support it?
Again, that's in 2016. I think that's where you see that play out, because then it becomes a national question. I mean, in the states where this is being resolved, I mean, I'm relatively certain in a lot of these heavily Republican states, Republican candidates and Republican senators don't feel a need to endorse gay marriage. Now, when you get into a national election, a presidential election, and you're trying to lure moderate, independent, and some Democratic voters to support a presidential ticket, that's when it becomes difficult, because that's when you have to actually say, well, I either am in favor or am opposed to gay marriage, and you're in jeopardy of losing some chunk of voters that you really need. For the senators, one of the reasons the Republican senators are not have not been big supporters of gay marriage is they don't have to be. In their states, they are safe, and in their primary races, particularly, they are safer to be opponents of gay marriage than they are to be supporters.
One more issue, a recent USA Today report updating us on travel expenditures by Wisconsin's congressional delegation.
Yeah.
What's going on? Are we talking about laws being violated or just
no.
Looking at where the money's coming from and where people are going?
This is really interesting. One of my colleagues who writes for the Gannett newspapers in Wisconsin did this study. It's really a part of a larger effort we're making to look at national travel trends amongst members of Congress. What's interesting here is that several years ago, Congress tried to eliminate travel paid for by private interests that have a lobbyist. This all comes out of the Jack Abramoff scandal that I'm sure your listeners remember. They didn't want members of Congress taking lavish trips from lobbyists. But what they did was they wrote the rules in such a way that said, well, if you're a private organization with a lobbyist, you can't support travel. So travel, privately paid travel, disappeared. But there was a loophole that said if you were a nonprofit organization, you could still support travel and still pay for members of Congress to go on trips abroad. So a bunch of organizations, most notably like the American Israel Political Action Committee, created separate nonprofits just to pay for travel. And so now this loophole is becoming fairly rich, and we're seeing a significant expansion in travel overseas by members of Congress on the dime of these private interest groups, but it's not really the interest group. It's the educational foundation nonprofit attached to the interest group. It is a total workaround of the rules in sort of a classic congressional way. We are not alleging any violations of law. We're not alleging any violation of the rules. What we are doing is showing just how Congress likes to write rules for itself and then find ways to work around them.
Well, that's all the time we have, Paul, but we'll throw that article listing Wisconsin's delegation's travel on the Central Time Facebook page. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day. I'll talk to you again.
That's USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time with the latest from Congress. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up in just a moment, we'll look at why a frack sand mining operation was shut down this week in Trempealeau County.
First, Gene Purcell joins us here in the studio. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy here on WPR. This drive is the time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And speaking of action, we've had some pretty good action on the pledge lines in the past couple of minutes. We've got just 9 pledges to go in about the next 24 minutes to make our goal this hour. So we are on your way, but we need your help. And here is a great reason to give.
Yeah, pledge any amount and you will automatically be entered into a drawing to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France.
And by the way, thanks so much if you've already given. But if you haven't, help us stay on track. Help us make this hour's goal and enter the drawing by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You turn to WPR for smart conversations about compelling topics. You can count on hearing in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every day. Because WPR's listener-supported public radio, your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes a world of difference. It makes these discussions possible.
It sure does. And consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning that you get from WPR by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or more. It's your gift of $1,200 or more that provides an important piece of the funding for the programs that we all rely on.
Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, at a time when the world is changing at such a fast pace, keeping up is harder than ever. And no matter what is going on in your own life or in the news, you can always count on Wisconsin Public Radio to always be here for you. You can count on us for programs that are both enlightening and entertaining.
But it goes both ways. We're here when you need us, and you step up with the support that makes it all possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
phone calls, emails, that deadline. Ah, and I have that meeting in half an hour. Ugh. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they come on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Gene Purcell joins the Central Time team here in the studio to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We heard from Shannon in Green Bay. She made a pledge. She's helping us hit our goal this hour. She says, I listen to WPR every weekday. It's my co-pilot to and from work. I value the unbiased info, and it's the first place I get many news updates. Thank you so much, Shannon. Now, how about you, your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount to give.
Shannon's got a great story about why she supports Wisconsin Public Radio. You've probably got a story about how you first became a Wisconsin Public Radio listener. Maybe it's pretty simple. You discovered us by accident, and you've never changed the station again.
Well, now is the time to create the story about how you first became a WPR donor. It might start out like this. I was listening to Wisconsin Public Radio as usual today when I realized it was time to donate. Finish the story with your first ever donation of, say, $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year, or perhaps you're already a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, in both those situations, thank you so much for supporting WPR. And don't forget, we'll gladly accept your extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful. And that extra support will help support the programs that you enjoy every day.
We started this hour with a goal of 23 pledges. Now we just have 7 left to go in the next 18 minutes or so. Thank you so much if you've gotten us off to that great start. How about you now? Make your pledge. Get entered into that drawing for one of 3 awesome trips, a WPR trips. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that a sustaining membership is very convenient for you, and it's convenient for us, too, since it provides us with reliable funding. So set up your ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, and you can do that at the same places, WPR.org. Do it online or give us a call, 888-202-2552.
Barbara from Milwaukee pledged. Thank you, Barbara. She says, I enjoy listening to WPR and I learn so much from the variety of programs. Thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate it and we can't do it without you and all the other listener supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio. Join Shannon and Barbara now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in fact, we can't do it without Barbara and 6 more people just like you. We've got just 6 more calls, 6 more pledges before the top of the hour if we are going to make our goal. So make that pledge right now at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Weekends are fun and informative.
Are you ready to play?
I am.
I think part of the problem is the name. It's a boneless rib.
Exactly. What is that?
I mean, if you think about it, there is no such thing as a boneless rib.
I don't know what I'm saying half the time.
Do you ever think, like, what if this becomes his story? Like, what if people confuse fiction and fact?
Listen to the Ideas Network on the weekends. Check out the schedule at WPR.org.
Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, offering the Master of Arts in Servant Leadership, designed to equip students to lead organizations, serving the common good, and grow as individuals. ServeGrowLead.com. Catch the latest news headlines, listen to our live streams, and browse the archives of your favorite shows, all from your tablet or smartphone. The best of WPR and NPR whenever and wherever you want it. WPR.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll be joined by a personal finance expert to talk about how to pay for college without going into massive, massive debt.
First, a frack sand mining operation in Trempealeau County is coming under close scrutiny after being shut down by county officials earlier this week. In addition to lacking the necessary permits, county regulators say the operation has been dumping polluted wastewater into an unlined pond.
The shutdown of the mine is just the latest twist in a state that's been grappling with issues stemming from this boom in frack sand mining.
Joining us now to talk about that shutdown is Rich Kramer. He's WPR's reporter in Eau Claire, and he's been covering frack sand mining here in the state. Rich, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rich, we've got the county stepping in here and issuing a stop work order. Set the backdrop for us. What led up to this?
Well, the stop work order is part of what the county can do in their reclamation permit. And as far as I know, Trempealeau County is the only county to have this power in their reclamation permits. I don't know. I haven't studied every single county's ordinances, but basically, it's like a last line to cross. So what they'll do is they'll work with a company if they notice that there are violations whenever they have either an inspection or a citizen will alert them. They'll talk with the company. They'll try to work it out. But if nothing is done, if they're not getting called back, you know, whatever, they can go in there and order by ordinance, by the county rules, order them to stop. And that's what happened Monday.
So based on what you know, has Trempealeau County been reaching out to the Goosa Pit Mine and telling them to do things differently?
Well, I just got in touch with the County Land Conservation Department, and the director there told me that he's been advised not to talk about this, which means to me it means there could be a lawsuit, who knows. But for what it's worth, I don't know a whole lot about the process leading up to this. All I know is that in the past, they've said that they reach out. That's the first thing they do is they talk to these mines. And this is the third, to my knowledge, this is the third stop work order that Trempealeau County has issued to three different mines. And each time, the other two times I talked to them and they said that they tried working with the companies, but they just kind of ignored them.
Well, what do we know about this particular mine? It's called the Goosa Pit.
Yeah, the Goosa Pit Mine, near Independence. It's a 1,600-acre mine. That doesn't necessarily mean that 1,600 acres are exposed to the, you know, to the wind and air and rain, but it's just a pit that's where they excavate the sand. Also on the same site, they've got a wash plant. So when they wash the sand, they need to separate all kinds of really fine clay from the sand particles so they get just a pure, easy-to-work-with, non-clumping kind of a material that they then truck off to places like Texas and North Dakota to inject into the oil wells there and fracture them. But when you wash the sand, you get this wastewater, and it's basically looks like muddy water, but there's also chemicals in it called flocculants, and in this particular case, it's usually a polyacrylamide, which by itself is non-toxic. It's a kind of a polymer of different molecules, but there are trace amounts of what's called acrylamide, which is a known carcinogen. Also has issues with the ability. It affects people if they're pregnant, and it's bad stuff. But trace elements in that. So the wash water was going into this pond, which, and it's not probably a natural pond. Usually the companies dig out these ponds, put the water in there, put the flocculants in there, and settles it out so they can reuse the water, and all the junk, all the clay goes to the bottom.
But this was an unlined pond. Is that the sticking point?
That is, in the county. As part of the pretty robust regulations that Trempealeau County has come up with in their reclamation permits, you have to have, I'm not sure if it's a clay-lined pond. Sometimes it's a rubber-lined pond. But that is the idea, is to keep that those chemicals from leaching into the ground. And they weren't doing this in this case. And also, they didn't even have permits from the county.
Now, as I understand, this pond is on the way to the Mississippi River. Is the worry then that the water and the contaminants would find their way to the Mississippi?
That is the worry. That's the worry among some of the concerned citizens that reported this to the county. What we've learned recently up in my neck of the woods north of Eau Claire is that these sediments are so fine that they can really travel long ways. There was a spill of muddy sediment from a holding pond that got into a stream and turned the stream, it looked like coffee creamer, for 3 days. And it's so fine that the DNR's methods of measuring it aren't even adequate. The filters they use, this sediment passes right through it. And that sediment is usually, you know, it has this polyacrylamide in it too.
Now, one interesting thing that's come up in this case and perhaps in others is that some of these mines are preferring to align themselves with the cities, you know, mm-hmm. more locally rather than with the county, presumably, I guess, because there are different regulations. What's at stake here in terms of the different ordinances?
Well, this could be a really interesting situation to watch unfold in Trempealeau County, because this mine, this Goosa Pit, as part of the Superior Silica Sands operation near Independence, the property has been annexed by the city of Independence. So what that means is once the city annexes it, gives it the permits, the county's rules don't apply. And in most cases, the county rules are stronger than what the cities do. The cities kind of work with the companies, and the company will give them, say, so many cents per ton of sand, kind of like to sweeten the deal, I guess. So right now, the property's annexed and is considered part of Blair, but the county rules supposedly still apply because the city of Independence hasn't issued the proper permits. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a legal battle that comes after this stop work order.
Do you know what kinds of permits a mine would need to conduct frac sand mining in Wisconsin?
Well, you need permits from the locals. It depends. That's a huge question. It depends where you are. If it's a zoned county like Trempealeau County, you need a county reclamation permit. You also sometimes need conditional use permits for hours of operation, sound level, you know, pollution, light pollution, just all kinds of things. You also need permits from the DNR for wastewater, high-capacity wells, and for air pollution.
Now, you said there are indicators here that we could be looking at a potential lawsuit here. What do we know about who owns the mine and what their response has been?
Well, the mine is owned by Superior Silica Sands. That's a Texas company. They've got two other operations in Wisconsin that I know of. One is in near Blair, which was that They've got other operations in the state. I can't think off of the top of my head where they are. One is actually in, I think it's in Chippewa County, but it's a big company out of state. Sometimes these companies will hire contractors to actually do the mining. So who's actually, you know, violating the permit is a question. You know, is it the contractors or is it the company that hires them? Are they all, you know, guilty by default? That's a lot of big questions that the lawyers will handle.
And Rich, do you think because of this now and this shutdown, we're going to see closer scrutiny of other mines in the area, checking on the permitting and whether or not everything is being conducted in the manner it's supposed to be up in Trempealeau County?
There's a lot of scrutiny already. The county land, the land conservation department, their land management department, they've been doing a lot with a relatively small staff. They've got some of the more restrictive ordinances and regulations in all the areas that I've seen with frac sand mining. They do regular inspections, but I think the biggest scrutiny that these mines get and have been getting are from citizens that have been opposed to the mines ever since they came around. And you better bet that there's people that go by and they're looking at the streams around the mines. They're looking to see if there's dust coming off of the piles of sand or the machines, and they let the DNR and they let the county know as soon as they see what they think is a violation, which happened in this case, which led to this stop work order.
Now, speaking of the stop work order, you said Trempealeau is one of the few counties to have this as a tool that they can use. Do you expect to see this catching on in other counties?
Well, it's the only county that I've seen use this. That doesn't mean I haven't read every ordinance in every county that has industrial sand mines, but I have heard Kevin Leon is the director of the department there, and during testimony at there was a meeting put on by the Wisconsin Farmers Union and Towns Association where he advocated that this is an option, and it's sometimes it's the only option that gets the attention of these companies is the stop work order. So it's possible that other counties could revamp their ordinances to include this, or maybe if they have it already, you know, enforce it. But it just seems there's more mines in Trempealeau County that are active than I think any other county in western Wisconsin. And it could be just, you know, a numbers game. More companies, you tend to have more accidents or more mistakes.
All right. Rich, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Rich Kramer, WPR's reporter in Eau Claire. He's been covering the state's frac sand industry.
Coming up next, we get some advice on how to pay for college without drowning in debt. But first, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Rob and Veronica here to remind you that listeners like you are a really important source of Wisconsin Public Radio's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps this program going strong. So invest in your future listening with a donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are still looking for two more pledges in about the next 5 minutes. Hope to go over and above that because of your love of Wisconsin Public Radio, because you listen and you get so much from it each day. And you know what? Here's another great reason to become a member.
Give any amount and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose if you win. You can cruise along the Rhine River in Europe. You can discover Alaska or sample the French lifestyle.
Thanks a lot if you've already given, but if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we learned the latest on frac sand mining, a big growth industry in Wisconsin, raising a lot of concerns for people in the affected areas. That's just one of the stories that we've been tracking on Central Time over the months and the just over a year since we started Central Time. Think about that, or things like the achievement gap in Wisconsin schools, our series on heroin or alcohol in the state, series we follow up on from time to time. We keep you connected to the big stories going on here in Wisconsin.
Your support makes the many topics we cover every day on the show possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider making a gift of $1,200. Listener support really is crucial to WPR's future.
If you'd like to do more than you've done before, maybe consider a 9XM Leadership Circle contribution of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. That's all it takes. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've only recently discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. We have heard from lots of folks this pledge drive for whom that's exactly true. They just moved to the state and they're blown away by Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we want you to know that WPR is listener-driven. It's not profit-driven. We're able to bring you more programs per hour because we don't have to take the time for long blocks of commercials.
Our business is to inform and entertain you and provide quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR is your station, and it's only possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. Show your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are at that threshold right now where all we need is one more pledge to make this goal in about the next 2 minutes. Why not be that person?
Yeah, your pledge could put us over the top. And when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River or explore Alaska or escape to France.
Make your donation now and get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important for you. It's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of maybe $5 a month. And you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, when you think of it, a gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community as a whole. You enjoy this radio station, and so do many others.
Make that pledge right now for yourself and the community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Anne from Hartford pledged this hour. She says, she kept it really simple. She says, I love the station. And thank you so much. We're glad you love what you're hearing on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're so glad to hear from you with your contribution. Now, how about you? Your turn. Make your pledge. Support great radio on Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustainer, thanks a bunch to you. Make today the day that you increase your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. The important thing to do is to support Wisconsin Public Radio right now with that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we thank you for each and every pledge.